Yeah. Listen, I'm doing this. Tonight's effort here is just done for the purposes of the record. It's not done for... It's not done for contemporary society. You know, there's times when you have to do things for the future, for posterity. Oh, would you please give me a little drum roll music there? Here. This is a little salute to posterity music. You guys won't believe. I say you won't believe. You won't believe how things are today. Here in this great land of ours, in the last third of the 20th century, it's getting wild. Hold it there. You see, I think a lot of the things you have, you said that. I think a lot of the things that we accept for granted, more or less, are going to seem very exotic to the people of, let's say, the year 2500. That's true. You know, I have a tendency to think that the automobile, for example, is one of the passing phases of the 20th century. And that by the year, let's say, 2500, they'll be quite surprised that people actually had their own conveyance. And they steered it wherever they wanted to steer it. And they, because the history of mankind, whether we like it or not, has been one of increasing, as slowly time moves forward, of increasing regimentation. You buy that? A whole history. Sure. I mean, the first guy in a cave. It was just between him and the saber-toothed tiger, you know? there was hardly anybody came around and told him what kind of fur he was supposed to wear, anything like that. And so, sixth and a slow, that's called civilization, after all. It's a civilization. So, blacksmith, I'm putting this down for the record, but this friend of mine came up to me and said, hey, listen, he said, I've got a ticket to an event, and, said, it's kind of an expensive ticket. I hate to just use it for a bookmark or give it to some guy in a parking lot. He said, would you like to go? And I said, what is it? He says, well, you come on over to Madison Square Garden, he said, and I'll meet you there, and we'll have a drinky poo, and then we'll go in. So I said, certainly no. Indeedy no. I mean, any time you're invited to go to Madison Square Garden, that's always kind of a... it is one of the quintessential New York experiences. Now, I've been in arenas all over the country. I've been in the big sports center in Cincinnati and the one out in L.A. and all. But let me tell you this. Madison Square Garden is Madison Square Garden. It just remains that, you know, no matter how fancy the building gets. I was in the old garden, and the feeling is still the same. I didn't think it would. But the feeling remains the same in the new garden, I guess primarily because New York is New York. You know, it's filled with a lot of yelling, hollering Archie Bunkers. It's still New York, no matter how fancy the walls are painted. You know, you could put Archie Bunker in the Taj Mahal, and he would bring the spirit of Archie Bunker to it. Understand? He would change the atmosphere. He'd say, oh, Wyatt, look at all them things all over the wall. Hey, oh, boy, look at it. Why don't they get them statues of our real ivory, you know? And Archie would bring a certain touch of Queens to the Taj Mahal in Agra. That is, that's right. He would bring a certain touch of Archie Bunkerism that is unmistakable. So when you walk into the garden, you are with New York. There's no question. You cannot argue that. You've been in the garden, Jerry. You know the feeling. It's a fantastic feeling to begin with, because everybody around that whole area there, if you go to the garden, and this spot, this little show here tonight, is directed primarily to people who probably have gone past the garden, have seen the garden, have heard about, everybody's heard of the garden, and have never really been there. Because if you've been there, if you've really been to the garden, there's not much you can say about it. It's an experience. And I would like to suggest that any of you who want to experience a real New York, a genuine New York experience, it's so New York that that I can't think of anything that is more New York. I mean, it used to be that going to see the Yankees play was a real New York experience. But it isn't so much anymore, really. It's great to see the ball game and all, But there's a certain atmosphere that has subtly changed. You do agree. I can't quite pinpoint it. So, nevertheless, I will go to the garden. It's a great, great experience. I have been to the garden now ever since I came to New York. And, of course, that was when the old garden was up there on 50th Street. And that was an experience in itself. You know, you go through this kind of an arcade, and they had these Western shops where you could buy saddles and stuff, which was a curious juxtaposition, but you could do that. And right next to it is a place where you could buy jock straps and tennis shoes. And, you know, in other words, there was a sense of participation at the old garden. Like, somehow you should pick up your equipment before you go in there, you know? Yeah, you could buy boxing gloves on the way in. And but now the garden is gotten kind of elegant in a certain way. You know, there's all kinds of very elegant restaurants throughout the garden that are peopled only by you know, the beautiful people. And but still, when you get into the event, that's when the full flower of the garden begins to take over. And it's and you go up these escalators and you can feel excitement growing. And it's a fantastic motley crowd. I saw one lady. The night before last, when I went to this thing, I saw one lady that was dressed entirely in what appeared to be Reynolds wrap. It was elegant. She said, beautifully. She had this sheath made out of shiny stuff, and she had at least 27-inch high Reynolds wrap lead-weighted shoes on the bottom. Fantastic. She just went, and the guy she was with was wearing a light gentian-colored suit. That was really spectacular. It had silver epaulets on it to match her silver, and he was wearing what appeared to be a great big dude hat, you know, a great big kind, but it was silver. Just brilliant. It was just a fantastic combination. This you see at the guy. You never see this at Shea. No way. At Shea, there would be a stunning silence in that group of Cub Scouts that are visiting with their I Love, you know, We Love Ed Cranepool signs. If this pair walked on the aisle, it just, yeah, it's a wholly different ballgame. So, but what was so fascinating about this evening was the fact that we were all attending a non-event. And that's what made it almost the quintessence of our time. Now, when you go to the garden, what do you expect to do? You expect to see a lot of guys hitting each other with hockey sticks. Or you expect to see Bill Bradley, you know, moving that ball up there and passing over to Earl the Pearl or something like that. You know, you hear the thump of the basketball and you smell the sweat of Dave the Busher and all. That's what you generally expect. Or maybe in the circus. Now, when a circus appears, there are other smells, but they're definitely there. I mean, there's the smell of, well, you know what I mean. And the circus has that quality. In other words, the events that occur at the garden are generally events where the spirit and the flesh is present. True? Like you go to a rock thing there. Well, they're fist fighting down and yelling and hollering. The guys are ripping each other off right there before your very eyes. You can, you know, up there on the way in the distance, you can see these four or five guys getting $17 million for their eight-minute performance. They're up there, you know, and you can actually see them there. And that's the whole spirit of the garden. Well, the other night, we have really, I think, finally entered the 21st century, really for officially. Because there's been a few abortive things like this. But the other night, it came full flower. Muhammad Ali was fighting Ken Norton, or vice versa, depending on how you look at it. And the garden was packed. Well, now, the garden, for many, many years, it seems like centuries, has been the Vatican of American boxing events. You agree, Jerry? Oh, yes, of course. I mean, the Madison. You looked out for. Well, if you doubt it, where would you say would be? Or maybe you don't remember the garden in its great days. I mean, maybe that's possible. But the garden was like, yes, the garden was like if a boxer was fighting in the garden, and it was a main bout, it was roughly equivalent to a performer playing in the Center Arena at Lincoln Center, and, you know, Lenny Bernstein is conducting. You couldn't go any higher. That was it, man. And you'd always hear Don Dunphy. I remember as a kid, you know, he's fantastic. Because, you know, you form these images of all this stuff generally through various types of media. You know, when you're a kid, you know, living in Indiana, you know, Madison Square Garden is a fabled place, and I mean truly fabled. Just like Yankee Stadium was a fabled place. To actually see it in the flesh was astounding. But you'd hear Don Dunphy.
Now, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Don Dunphy at ringside tonight at Madison Square Garden, where a crowd of 27,000 people have gathered to see the fight.
Oh, God. I mean, you know, that's the Madison Square Garden. And then you'd hear Bill Corum. Wasn't there somebody named Bill Corum that would announce the fights? And he would come in and say, "And he's down. He's on one knee now. The count is at 7. The count is at 8. And he's up now. And the challenger moves in." Oh, fantastic. Good God. And you could hear the crowd roaring. And it was Madison Square Garden. Now, if that was coming from White City Arena, you know, this is something else again. If it was coming from Cleveland County Stadium, you know, that's no way. But Madison Square Garden. And they'd have these great interviews, you know, between rounds with total New York types. Don Dunphy would say, "And now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to interview between rounds Coop Shore. Coop Shore, would you please tell us what you think of tonight's fight?" "Well, yeah, I believe that." God, this is New York, you know, the guys you read about. And they were like the spirit of New York. So New York is a lot more than just a lot of bad traffic, believe me. And the feeling that you get when you go in the garden, even today, is, you know, it's a garden. I mean, let's face it. So it's a pretty elegant building now. As you know, they have this great arched roof. You've been in there since they've the new one. And it's reported that the seats are better. This has always been put out by the PR department of the garden, but I'm not so sure that's necessarily true. I had a feeling that in the old garden, even though you were higher often, there was a more sense of intimacy. There was a real sense of intimacy in the garden. But but nevertheless, the spirit is there, see? So we go up the elevator. And boy, boy, everybody's excited. You know, guys, you hear you guys talking a whole bunch. And we were going to a truly garden event. It was a boxing event. Now, boxing events are different from any other event in the garden. I mean, when you go, for example, every year there's the National Horse Show there. Well, that's a real New York event, you know. But there's a very different crowd. You smell the smell of Westchester. There is the faint aroma of Scotch Plains, New Jersey, and the rustle of fine tweed is heard, and there's a very polite occasional bursts of faintly disdainful applause when someone clears a 7-foot jump. But you just don't see any of these people, you know, getting so excited that they fly right out of the mezzanine deck and land on her head down 4 sections below. You know, this is a true garden experience. In fact, do you remember last year in one of the hockey games, somebody scored a goal, and it was the Rangers, of course. One of the Rangers scored a goal, and it was like in the last 21 seconds when a true garden event occurred. A guy got so excited that he fell right out of his seat and fell right down into the next section, bounced, and landed on the ice. Do you remember that? Yeah, they had a picture of him in the post. There he was. So his excited fan flies out of stands. Well, this is a garden, true garden expression of you know, total involvement. Now, on the other hand, when the Rangers stopped winning, how much love's up there? I mean, you don't see that at the Mets or at the Yankees. You know, the Mets can go on a 37-game losing streak, and they're still holding up signs. Ridgefield loves the New York Mets. I don't know. No, the Garden fan loses his love almost instantly when he begins to see his heroes slowly crumble before his eyes, and his love turns to loud, vociferous hate. And that's when you're really experiencing the Garden. Night before last, at the garden, roughly, I would say, 20,000 raving garden fanatics came up and down the escalators carrying all kinds of programs. They were even selling souvenirs. Souvenir at a big fight. You know, you could get, there's a souvenir program at a big fight. You weren't actually at the fight. That's the thing that's important to remember. Now, if you've never been to one of these events, I'll tell you exactly how it occurs. Very interesting. You buy seats that are numbered exactly the same as if you were at a real fight. So, for example, you can buy a ringside seat. You know? Well, not a ringside. It happens to be 3,000 miles from where you are. So that's a pretty big ringside. But you can buy a ringside seat, which means that you're sitting closer to the screen. What you're doing. And guys that are sitting back, of course, are kind of like lesser citizens, naturally. At any big event, the guys that got the seats up in the peanut gallery, they don't count at all. You know that. They're just allowed to be in there by the people down on the ringside seats. So all these various seats are sold in that premise. You know, it's just like you're at a real fight. So by luck of the draw, I am seated at ringside. I was all excited. You know, it's not often you get a ringside seat at the Garden, you agree, Jerry? And there I was, sitting at ringside, and I even had a really an elegant ringside seat because right next to me, in fact, it was I could reach out and touch it, was the projector. Sitting right there next to me on the floor. See, I was that close. Boy, fantastic. And he's projecting this thing, the event. Now, if you've never been to one of these, I'll describe exactly how it happens. The crowd begins to arrive. The event, let's say, is scheduled for 10:15, which is the feature event. And the crowd is really, really excited. They're all moving down the aisles, and they're yelling and hollering, "Hey, where are you, Chester? Oh, where are you?" The guys are running up and down, betting with each other, and the excitement is really, really a New York scene. And then, at precisely 10:15, you hear this faint rumble, the machine, and from the ceiling, this great white cube was lowered. It's a cube. And it just came right down, right into the middle of the floor. You see, for a big fight, naturally, the floor section where they play the basketball games is filled with the elegant ringsiders. And this white cube is moved right down, and it stops. And the crowd is waiting. And then faintly, you see little flickers coming on the screen. And then out of this darkness on the screen, you see the faint outlines of what looks like a cloud is beginning to appear. And then somebody's adjusting the focus, and they're bringing up the contrast. And then you see another crowd. You're looking at another crowd, which is actually at ringside in California. And at that point, our crowd gives a great cheer. You know, wow, 20,000 people. Wow, wow. Well, it's like they can hear you, you know? And then the camera picks out various celebrities. You see all kinds of starlet types are sitting there. And you see, yeah, there's a quick shot of Howard Cosell. The crowd, it was fantastic. You see Howard Cosell in the crowd. And then from the entire arena, you hear this, boo, boo, you're a bum, Cosell. He disappears. And then the fighters appear on the screen. They come out through the ramps and come down through the crowd, and the crowd is going ape right. I mean, the guys are starting to holler, you know, and this is what was weird. Muhammad Ali shows up, see, and you hear these guys on, hey, Ali, hey, Muhammad Ali, hey, Ali. They're hollering like you can hear them, see, they wanted to hear them. and down through the crowd comes Ken Norton. Well, for 12 rounds, well, heavyweight rounds, I was in the middle of a screaming, yelling, wildly sweating New York City, Madison Square Garden fight throng. And you get swept up in it. You begin to believe you're out of fight, you know. And here you get your $20 seat, you know, and you're cheering and yelling. Then I was watching myself, what the hell am I doing? Because very once on a great occasion, reality intrudes. They lose the picture. I mean, it's like the fighters disappeared. Just suddenly, you see this flickering and something blips across the screen. And then you hear a loud immediately, hey, boo, boo, go on, you guys. And then they bring it back again. And the guy turns to me and says, oh, my God, this guy that was living, he says, I hope nothing happens to the cable. I mean, if they lose the picture, man, we're going to get killed. They're going to start throwing the seats down here, and you better, you know. He says, my suggestion is tie it into the ring. And I said, what ring? He said, get him in the screen, do something. He's because they're going to start throwing. And thank heavens, nothing happened like that. But then, when the decision was made, and it was a split decision, the crowd roared, and with the hollering of the referee, you bum, what do you mean, you bum?
Radio, robbery, robbery! They were yelling.
And the referee up there, he just continued to walk around, hand out the scorecards. Yes, it was a great non-event, but I'll tell you this, it was probably as definitive a New York experience as you could have. I was surrounded by 20,000 fellow New Yorkers, sweating and hollering, yelling, betting, and it was Madison Square Garden, a big, big apple.